Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Daniel continues our series, Uniquely You.
Awesome time of worship this morning, guys. Take your Bibles and turn with me towards the New Testament. We're going to be skipping around a little bit this morning. And also in your bulletins, there is a little note-taking sheet there. And I'm also going to call this kind of like a priming of the pump type thing, because there's some cool things here that I think we're going to be able to use in a little bit to help us navigate through some stuff. Over the past 6 weeks, Pastor Ken, Pastor Janetta, and Pastor Jim have been leading on what I think is a very dynamic and had and a message series that's had a potential to really impact the way we live and the way we interact with each other and the way we do ministry. The name of this message series we've been doing is called Uniquely You, Shaped for His Purpose. And I think one of the underlying truths that we've come to during these weeks together is this. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is very important. God has shaped you uniquely for His purpose to do ministry. Now, I've said that to people over the years, and a lot of people just don't believe it. I've had people kind of sheepishly say, well, God could never use me and my talent. I don't like being in front of people. I don't like praying in front of groups of people. Or I don't like, you know, being the spotlight. Or I don't like doing a lot of things that God has uniquely shaped you to be able to do ministry. Whether it is behind the scenes like Kim McKnight. On Wednesdays, Kim and I go to Ridgeville Middle School and we feed people. Carol does it on Mondays. And we go there and we just feed kids. And Carol's job, Kim's job, I don't know what Carol does because she's on a different day, but Kim's job was this. She gave out condiments. And I have never seen such joy on people's face to be able to get honey mustard for their chicken nugget things. She was the condiment woman. And I watched kids smile. Now, somebody asked me what my job was. I was the milk boy. I got to give out chocolate or white. And I had a bet with Kim. I said, by the end of this thing, it'll be 90% chocolate, and people don't want white milk anymore. Who was right? I was. Yeah. Chocolate milk is still the number one milk of choice at Ridgeville Elementary School. What is that face for? You don't like chocolate milk? Oh, my soul. Well, anyway, we have said over these weeks that God has uniquely shaped each one of us for ministry. And that word shape has many meanings, but what we have done is we have taken each letter and it has a significant counterpart for it. So the S stands for spiritual gifts. And Pastor Ken told us that every one of us who knows Jesus Christ our Savior has a spiritual gift. He has given you something like administration or being orderly or being neat or what I call OCD. Some people he's given the gift of leadership. He's given the gift of teaching. He's given the gift of helps. Every one of us have a spiritual gift that God has given us for His purpose. We then talked about heart, and Pastor Ken told us what our passions might be. That was Jim Wood. Oh, Jim did heart and passion, right? Okay. He talked about how what drives our engine, what gets us excited, what are those things that we have a passion to do, whether it's being around people, whether it's being around figures and numbers and doing administrative things, which I really love. Each of us has something in us, in our heart, that shapes us to do ministry. Then we talked about abilities, and we talked about natural gifts and talents that God has given us that are used for ministry. Then Janetta started talking about personality, and she talked about the different kind of personalities in this room. And it was really kind of fun to watch her do that, because we sat around the room, not to box ourselves in, but just say, what is our natural bent? And there was something funny. Nobody could figure out what my personality is. I think I'm a little schizophrenic, because when we went through those gifts, I could see myself in all four of them. Phlegmatic, melancholy, sanguine, and the other one. What was it? Choleric. Yeah, okay, we see y'all listen. And I could really see myself in all four of them. At different times, I am high in each one of them, except the one where you're orderly and detailed and you do things the way you're supposed to do. Well, as we talked about personality, we then get to the E. And I'm going to talk about experiences today, because this one is one that can be misunderstood sometimes, and there's part of our experiences that we can sometimes try to avoid, so we're going to explore. But before we do that, I want to remind you of two really crucial things. Number one, Pastor Ken told us this on the very first week. He said this: our availability is more important than our ability. Now, the first time he said that, I had to kind of stop and think about that for a few minutes, because I've always tended to say, well, your ability is the most important thing. But you know, I know Christ followers who have incredible ability. They have incredible heart, spiritual gifts, they have a passion, they have all these things, and they are ready to do ministry, but unfortunately, they just aren't available. I've known many people who are available and say, I'll do whatever needs to be done. And those people, many times, drive ministry because they say, I may not be the best at something, but I'm here and I'm available. And I love that. You see, God has given you abilities. Now, some of them you haven't discovered yet, but he has given you abilities. He wants to use you in ministry. But, this needs to be go down a little bit, Darren, but what we sometimes struggle with is our availability, being there. Well, what to be available for? And so Ken introduces this topic, this word last week. It's the word ministry. And whenever I hear the word ministry, I tend to, and this is to my discredit, I tend to think about pastors. And my first thought is, what's it like to be a professional clergy person? But Ken told us that is absolutely wrong. In a very real sense, every one of us, you and I, are ministers of the gospel. In ministry, the definition he gave us is simply this. Ministry is using whatever God has given me and what he has given you to serve him in the needs of others. And when you think about ministry in that context, you really get a very clear picture that every one of us is a minister. He has given you everything you need. He has shaped you in a unique way to be able to reach out to others. So with those two things in mind, because those are kind of paramount to what we're going to say this morning, I want to talk about experiences. I looked up the word experiences in the Webster Dictionary, and this is what I came up with. The process of doing and seeing things and having things happen to you. I like that one. But this one, for me, was a little more pertinent. It says this, experiences are something personally encountered, undergone, or lived through. I'm going to say that again. Your experiences, the E part of our shaping experience, how God has formed us, is something personally encountered, undergone, or lived through by you and I. Ken and I got together with the teaching team a couple of weeks ago, and we started thinking, what kind of experiences do we go through that help shape us? And we came up with some very broad categories. And on your note-taking sheet, I've listed these out. Now, I'm going to give them to you in a different order this morning, but these are for you to take home this week and kind of look through as you process this message. I know every Sunday night when we go to Alpha, somebody will bring some handout that Ken or Jeanette have given us, and we'll go over it. I hope you have a group of people, or you on your own have a situation where you can take these things and go over them, because you cannot get everything out of the messages we do just on Sunday morning. I hope you take home these note sheets and you look at them and you think about them, and this is one that's there for you today. So we thought about some experiences that we go through that can help shape us. One of them is your spiritual experiences. What things have happened in your spiritual life that God is using to shape you? One of the most foundational is, how did you come to know Jesus? Have you ever sat down and thought about that before? How did you become introduced to who Jesus Christ is? You know, everything in my life has a really weird little roadmap. There's a before Jesus and an after Jesus. I know what I was like before I met Jesus Christ. You can go on my Facebook page and see people who knew me before I knew Jesus Christ. When I put things on there about Jesus Christ, they're like, who are you? Because they didn't know me before I came to know Jesus at the age of 21. How did you come to know him? Who are your heroes in the Bible? Who are the people when you read their stories in Scripture, it just gets your heart racing because you can relate with those people. What is your favorite way of learning about Jesus? For some people, it's sitting down reading a Bible study or sitting down reading a book that someone's written. For some people, it's taking the Old or the New Testament itself and just going through it. For some people, it's music. I love music, but you could never tell by listening to me sing. But I will sometimes be going down the road, and I'll be listening to praise music, and I'll feel like I'm in the presence of God. It just takes me there. So what spiritual experiences has God used to help shape you? Another one is your developing experiences. As you were growing up, who were your friends? Who did you hang out with? Do you remember your best friend growing up? I was talking to Maggie this morning, and I remembered my best friend going up in high school. I haven't thought about him in 20 years or so, but I was formed by that friendship. That friendship, and you might want to go back and talk to that person, but don't do it now. Who did you hang out with when you were a kid? Who were your neighbors? What in your developing stages did God use to help shape who you are today? Another category, your religious, your relational experiences. What are your relationships like? Who do you remember in your relational experiences impacting your life? You know, I have the privilege here at the church of hanging out with community service kids. From time to time, kids get in a little bit of trouble out in the community, and the state of Kansas tells them they have to come and hang out with me, and that's punishment for them. And so they come here, and they hang out with me. Sometimes 25 hours, sometimes 30 hours. I've had some for 50 hours. And I have one young man who's been here three times. 20 hours, 25 hours, and 30 hours. It keeps going up and up. And I talked to my friend about his life, and I asked him very specifically, why are you here? Why are you back a third time? And he said, well, it's hard to behave. I keep getting caught. I'm not getting high. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. That's good. And then I asked him this question. I said, who is your best friend? And what are your friends like? And he said, my friends are just like me. They're looking for community service too. And they get in trouble too. And I said, you know what, buddy? It might be time to tweak your friendships. Because I believe this with all my heart. When it comes to being shaped relationally, who you hang out with now is what you're going to be like in a couple of years. Now, that's a scary thought for some of us. Who you hang out with, young people in the room, teenagers, freshmen in college, whatever grade you're in. Who you hang out with, what grade are you in, Aristotle? I can't remember. Ooh, good for you. Whoever you guys hang out with today, that's what you're going to be in 5 years. I believe that. So God shapes us through our relationships. Another educational experience. Now, I really struggled with this one a little bit because I wanted to come in and say, where did you go to school? What did you learn? What were your favorite subjects? Those kind of things. But I was reminded of something this week. When it comes to relationships and work, you know, I was getting ready for this message, and I started thinking about my dad. My dad never finished the eighth grade. My dad grew up in the country, way out in the middle of nowhere in Georgia. When he was in the eighth grade, his father passed away, and he had to go to work. But my dad was the wisest man I knew. He couldn't do a spreadsheet. He didn't know what an Excel sheet. They didn't have Excel then. But he didn't know anything about computers. He didn't know anything about reading encyclopedias. He just knew things. And I would sometimes call him when I was at school, and most times I was in trouble, and I'd say, Daddy, I'm in trouble. And he could talk me through things that he himself had never gone through. I would call him from college and tell him things I was struggling with, and he could talk me through them, but he had never been to college. So I have to be careful when it comes to our educational work experience, because God sometimes teaches us the most incredible educational lessons through the school of hard knocks. I was also thinking about this. God has shaped you through where you work. Every Thursday, Brian Martin, where's Brian Martin? There you are. Brian Martin skips in here with a happy look on his face, and he sits at a computer terminal in my office, and you know what he does? He crunches numbers. He does accounting things. And I sometimes look at him and think, wow, you are weird, because if I had to do something like that, it would absolutely send me into anaphylactic shock. If I had to import numbers and put things with accounts, I would die. But he works as an accountant-type person, and he loves doing that kind of stuff. Well, you know what God did to Brian? God shaped him through his work and educational experience to be able to do ministry, and that's what he does every Thursday. I've seen Nanette do it. Where's Nanette? Nanette gets numbers and figures, and she puts things in place. I think he may do the accounts payable, and she may do the accounts payable. I don't know. I don't care. I just know they're doing something I can't do. And God is using them to do ministry. It's amazing. Then also, I want to mention this. Your ministry experience helps shape you. I want to ask you this question. What in ministry gets you excited? Last night, we had a picnic here, and I am so thankful to many of you guys who came out to help us do things and to scrape mulberry berries off of picnic tables and cook hot dogs and hamburgers and give out lemonade and water and play soccer. I watched people last night who were having fun. Those ministry experiences help shape us. Those ministry opportunities are so valuable, and all of us can have them, and all of us have the opportunity to excel in those. But let me ask you, what do you love to do? This morning, Keith Conley walked in the church. I promise, I'm not telling a story. He walked in the church. Did you see those Easter lilies out in the garden? I said, no. The Easter lilies are blooming. The Easter lilies are blooming. Well, part of Keith's ministry is to tend those dumb flowers out there. And I see him out there for hours, picking on them, talking to them, playing with them, playing catch with them with a little plastic ball. And I'm like, really? I want to get some of that Weed Be Gone stuff and just spray them all, because I... Well, he just threatened me, so there ends up being a bunch of cow manure in my office tomorrow. You'll know that Keith Conley did it. I don't know what in ministry. It could be playing the drums, Kate. It could be playing the piano, Gail. But God has shaped us, and he's given us ministry opportunities that help make us unique for his service. I want to tell you one cool story. I was sitting in Alpha about 2 months ago, and Miranda Dillon said, my daughter Kinley has had an idea for ministry. I said, oh, great, because usually when people say I've had an idea for ministry, it means I'm going to have to do something. And I said, and I usually get up in a mirror and say, woohoo, look at you, you do it. And she said, Kinley and I had something exciting happen to us this week. We were driving down the road, and there was a homeless person on the side of the street, and we wanted to give them something, but we didn't really have anything. And Kinley started bugging her mom day after day and said, we got to do something. We got to have something in our car so that when we see a homeless person, my experience, Kinley said, has been that we need to serve them. So they came up with this idea to do blessing bags. And so we as an Alpha team got together, and we put together these little bags. And I helped. And we put these bags together, and all of us started carrying them around in our cars to give to people. So the Alpha group said, we're going to do this ourselves because we're special and because we come to Alpha. And in this little thing, there's like these little wipes where you can, you know, wipe, and crackers and apple juice, and there's some hopefully non-perishable cheese, and chapstick and toothbrush and toothpaste and a bottle of water. And because of a little girl, how old is Kinley? A 12-year-old had an experience where she saw someone wanted to help. She got a group of adults to put together these bags. And as of today, we've given out five of them. Is that right, Marcia? We've given out five of these. As we've driven around Olathe and driven around Overland Park, we just find people. And we say, oh, there's somebody. And we give them to them. And we bless them because of the experience of a little girl. Thank Kinley for me, for having the boldness to say, Mom, we got to do something. And her mom's saying, hey, Alpha Group, we got to do something. Because ministry happened. I have no idea what a homeless person is going to do when they get this. But you know what they might say? They might say, wow, God is there because I needed this. They might say, somebody gives a rip because they got this. I have no idea the fruit that will happen from that ministry of a 12-year-old having an idea. But the experience she had was, Mom, Dad, we got to do something to help. Let me tell you something. You can do that on your own. You can do that every day. And many of you do that. Jared, every time you have a pizza party and you have a bunch of college kids over, you were doing ministry because you saw an experience that college kids were hungry and liked pizza, and you had a pizza recipe. That's phenomenal. God has shaped you with experiences. And the potential for you to unleash that is overwhelming. But there's something else that I want to spend a little bit of time on. There's one more category that I haven't mentioned yet, It could be part of all of these. It could be part of spiritual. It could be part of educational work. It could be part of them. But there's one other category of experiences that I want to talk about for a second. And that is your painful experiences. Your bad experiences. Times when you have been hurt. In my experience in ministry, most people are quick to run to the positive experiences they've had. In ministry, in school, the positive experience with relationships, the positive experiences in ministry, they are quick to jump to those and wrap themselves around them and to celebrate those and say, yeah, God has shaped me so that I can do stuff because of all these things. But there's one category of experiences that I have found, and I am part of this, where I don't like to run, and I don't like to celebrate. And that's the places where I've experienced pain. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I love this verse. It says this, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news." The Apostle Paul says, I want you to know that everything that has happened to me, the good in the bad, that I can celebrate and that I can try to go through therapy through, that has put me on top of the world, on top of the mountain, and that has plunged me to the valley. He said, everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. And I want to tell you a little bit of Paul's story. Because when you know just a little tiny bit of Paul's story, you know what a huge mouthful it is. The Apostle Paul had everything. He had been born into a prominent Jewish family. He had been given Roman citizenship because the city he was born in, to be a Roman citizen that day was unique. It was special. You were set apart. He studied under the best rabbis. He accelerated in the temple ministry. He went there and he served with the Pharisees. And he was called the Pharisee of the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, when this new cult called Christianity started to come into being, the high priest himself tapped Paul on the shoulder. The high priest was like the highest official in all of Judaism. And he said to Paul, "Paul, I want you to go and kill Christians." And Paul's job was to go all over Palestine, all over Israel, all over Jerusalem, and find Christians and kill them. Now, he didn't do this because he was mean. He did this because he loved God and he thought he was doing the right thing. Until he was going to a town called Damascus one day, and a bright light shone, and a voice said, "Hey, Paul, why are you messing with me?" It was a little different in Scripture, but trust me. He said, "Hey, why are you messing with me?" And Paul said, "Who are you?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus. And we need to talk." And Paul's life changed. He became a champion of the gospel. And he became a champion of Christianity. He took the message of Jesus from being a Jew-centered faith with only a few Jewish converts to encompassing the Gentile world, which we're a part of. Because of what Paul experienced, you and I are sitting here today. And that experience shaped him in such a way that he was able to turn his world and our world upside down. And you might think, well, everything was happy for Paul from that point. You might think, woohoo, he got a nice car. He had a parking spot out in front of the synagogue. He had a nice Rolex watch. Everything was great for Paul. But it wasn't. Paul lost everything, physically speaking. He lost his job. He lost his position. He lost his title. He lost all of his friends who had worked with him in the temple for years. And when you go back and read Paul's story, you see that because he now became a follower of Jesus, his experience was that he was beaten, he was arrested, he was stoned, he was ostracized, he was criticized, he was vilified, and eventually he was murdered. Because of his faith in Jesus, it cost him everything he knew before, except Jesus. Because Jesus interceded in his life, he was able to say this a little bit later. Next slide, please, Bailey. He said this. And we know, this is the man who's been through hell because he stood up for Jesus. And we know that God causes everything to work together for what? The good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The Apostle Paul was able to say, listen, I don't think he could have loaned me a dime for a cup of coffee, but he knew who Jesus Christ was. He had experienced good stuff and he had experienced bad stuff, but he was able to say, my experiences, no matter whether good or bad, have shaped me to do ministry. And I think that's a lesson that you and I have to grab a hold of also. What we have been through, the good and the bad, the painful and the bitter, it has been used by God to shape us. I want to give you one more passage that Paul said. This week I just read Paul's story. And the more I read his story and the more I saw about him in Scripture, the more I was convinced that there was something uniquely shaped into him by these experiences, even the bad ones, that caused him to be able to give me some hope. He said this, God is our merciful Father. Now, just stopping there for a second, the word in Corinthians for Father is the word Abba. It's the most intimate word. He's our daddy. Not this lofty, set apart, we can't see him, we can't touch him. He said he's like a father who says, come and sit on my lap. This morning I offered to let Carol Freeman sit on my lap because, no, it was at the picnic last night. Where's she at? And she said, no, I was trying to use this verse with you. And he says, God is our merciful daddy, and he is the source of all comfort. Listen to this. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can do what? Comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us, and that blows me away. He has shaped you with your experiences so that you can help others. Now, I have to say this really quick. I want you to know I know what pain can feel like. And what I'm saying can sound very trite. Oh, God will use it. Listen, I know. Some of you in this room have experienced things that I haven't. And I have experienced things that you haven't. But isn't that the joy of being a follower of Jesus and a body of believers who say together we can help one another? Regina Odell, when my mom was dying last month, she kept texting me and saying, I'm praying for you, because her mom was dying. And I was just like, wow. She knows exactly what I'm going through. At the memorial for her mom, I came up and I said, Regina, you and I have a connection. Our mamas both died together. I can help her. I can't take away her pain. She cannot take away my pain. But I can say, I can sit with you and just be there. Just remember, sometimes availability is more than ability. I don't know what to say to her. I have no clue what to say. But I can just be available. And she was available to me, and I thank you for that. I tell you what really stunk. A week later, my cat died. I get home from my mom's funeral, and Into had a stroke. I didn't know cats could really have a stroke. I know we can have a stroke, but not my poor little cat. And that just really stunk. It was another experience that I hated. But Regina's cat died a week after her mother died. And when she told me that, I was like, Regina, I don't know. I don't have the ability to say anything to you because I know how it feels. I can just be there. So Maggie came in today and I said, how's your family doing? And she's like, well, nobody's died this week. So, you know. Probably going pretty good. And I feel I can be there with them. And then yesterday, poor Chris put on her Facebook, my cat died. And I sat there in my office Saturday and I wept. Not because your cat died, but because I was reminded. And I thought to myself, Chris, I'm so sorry. And so I wrote on her Facebook, I said, I'm just sorry. This isn't fair, this stinks, but God has given me an experience so that I don't know exactly how to respond when somebody's mama dies. I don't know exactly how to respond when your mama dies. But I've tasted just a little bit of it. And the Apostle Paul says, God is merciful. And our Father has let us go through these things so that when trouble comes, I can help another person. I don't understand that 100%. But I trust it. Let me give you one more. The Apostle Paul said this, and this just makes him a hero in my book. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because Jesus steps in and says, I'm going to help you through this. Jesus steps in and says, I am going to walk with you through this. Sometimes Jesus does that supernaturally through his Holy Spirit. When Gail sang that song this morning, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I remember thinking to myself, my soul, that was just perfect. How did she know that that's what we needed? The Holy Spirit does come and he says, I am going to help you through this stuff. But sometimes God uses people that come along and say, listen, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to be here. And if I said anything, it might be the wrong thing, but I'm just going to be in your presence. That's what life is. That's what being a Christian is. Now, some of you might be tempted to say this. I have a couple of friends coming up. Some of you might be tempted to say, well, that's great for the Apostle Paul. La-di-da. Come on. That's great for the Apostle Paul, but I live in 2015. And some of you might think that worked for him, but that could never work for me. I want to introduce you to a couple of friends this morning who are going to tell you a little bit. You're right over here. Who are going to tell you a little bit about their story. And Pastor Jim's going to help me with this.
Personal problems. what you want, but you don't know what to do. We went 8 months without communication, and Richard asked me to meet him up here at the church, which was the first shock to me that he wanted to meet at the church. And just going from there and the journey of while we were apart, how God was working in our lives individually and healing us from the hurt we had caused each other. And I think just building us up to a point where we could communicate and talk to each other and put him first.
So when you showed up at the church, you sat down with this 6'8" individual?
Mm. The first time we met up here, we just talked. We got together and kind of just unpacked our luggage and just said, okay, where do we go from here? We could spend the rest of the day talking.
It's a great story of God. You know, obviously none of us would wish for you to go through those experiences. And you've all probably been in experiences that you've gone through and in the midst of them, you're like, why in the world, God, am I going through this? And yet God has this amazing way of shaping and transforming and changing and using those experiences to bring about restoration, to bring about forgiveness, to bring about healing, to transform lives. And as a result of going through those experiences, we all of a sudden have a sensitivity to people who may find themselves in those similar situations, those similar circumstances. Right? And for somehow you can relate and you can empathize. And friends, we're tempted all the time to hide those experiences, to hide that hurt, to hide that pain, to pretend like everything's good. But as Pastor Daniel shared just a little while ago, really effective ministry comes out of our weakness. Effective ministry comes out of those experiences where you experience pain or loss or trauma. And God uses that.
Thank y'all for sharing y'all's story. You know, I absolutely believe what Pastor Jim just said, that God uses our weakness and God uses our struggle. I want to give you this slide. Look at this. I believe this with all my heart. It says this, the next slide. It says, God is the master of redemption and bringing good. And I'm going to change that because I can. and bringing great things from our mess. Our God is a God of redemption. And if you ever get the idea that your mistakes disqualify from your ministry, you are absolutely wrong. If you think the hurts you've had disqualify you from ministry, you are absolutely wrong. You have not gotten to a place where God can't use you, because God is great. I needed the music. And my God can redeem your situation. A week ago, Pastor Ken introduced us to a new song. And I had just come back from Georgia and had just buried my mom and had just buried my cat. And I was sitting back there and Ken sang this song. I want you to listen to the words for just 1 second. We're going to sing it as a congregation, but I want you to listen to these words for a second. Our scars are a sign of grace in our lives. Oh, Father, how you brought us through. When deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you prove. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. It is well. My God says to you and says to me, it's well. The hurts you've been through, the disappointments, the broken relationships, the incredible high spiritual times, the successes, the wins, the wonderful experiences where everything has been perfect, God has used those experiences to say to you, you're shaped for ministry. He's used those experiences to say, you are my child. And we have to share this grace and share this love and share this excitement and share this redemption story with other people. That's why we exist. I promise you, that's why you're here. Because there are people who've lost their spouse. There are people who've lost their friend. There are people who don't know which direction to go, whose finances are in trouble, that you can come alongside. You can say, I have been through that and come out on the other side, or I am in the middle of that and we can walk together. So I want us to sing this song together, It Is Well. I want us to sing it as an anthem. I want us to sing it, if you have to, as a hope that one day you'll be there. Or to sing it as a praise that, God, it is well with me. So would you stand with me? And we're going to sing this song together as our closing, and then Jim's going to come and close us.
Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more, visit us at olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for one of our worship gatherings. Thanks again for listening.